Good evening. I'm Robert Schuller, and I want to welcome you to The Call. This is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries Church with No Walls, because Don and I look forward to this time every month when we can come together on the phone and read the Bible and pray. And actually, tonight I'm going to share a little message with you that's on my heart. And we often have an interesting guest with us, but this evening we decided to just go it alone, Don and I. And so we're here to give you some mid-month encouragement and to help you get through whatever challenges you may be facing today, tomorrow, and the weeks ahead.
And good evening. This is Donna Schuller. Thank you again for joining Robert and I on The Call, which, as you know by now, is a telephone gathering held on the 15th of each month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. You know, it's hard for us to believe we've been doing this each and every month on the 15th of every month for almost 4 years. This November, it will be 4 years ago that we decided to start this call. And no matter where we are in the world, we still have a call on the 15th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time, which can be interesting because it can be in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Other times, or tonight, it's actually 7 p.m. here in Mexico. We were down here leading our gathering, our Sunday morning gathering yesterday, which is a Sunday, of course, and we fly back to Orange County on Wednesday. So this evening, we look forward to, like Robert said, he's got a little message for you. As usual, we'll start out with prayer, and I'll read some scripture. Actually, I think Robert's going to read scripture
tonight
as well. That's good. I like it.
No, you can read a little bit from John.
Whatever you want me to do.
Yeah, you bet.
Of course, we also have a time of question and answers. So if you want to pull out a piece of paper and a pencil and start taking notes, maybe Robert will say something interesting. You want to ask a question later. And when the time comes, all you do is you push the star and six on your keypad on whatever phone you're using. And then you just get put in a line, and I'll see you here on the control panel. And you can ask your question. And just a reminder, too, we'd love to take your specific prayer requests. So you can also ask for prayer anytime, and if you're shy, which a lot of people are, and you don't want to ask for prayer or ask a question here during the call, please make sure that you know you can email us anytime. So it's Donna@SchullerMinistries.org or Robert@SchullerMinistries.org. You can email us for any questions anytime and any prayer requests, because that's what we love to do. So again, we will... you know, we'll let you know when we're starting the question and answer time, and you just push star and six on whatever keypad you're using.
So, Don, why don't you have a prayer for us to start the evening out?
Okay, I'd love to do that. So let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time every month, month after month, for almost 4 years, where we can come together over a telephone. We can record this, but... more importantly, you know, we can touch, even though it's not physically been touched, heart to heart and mind to mind and soul to soul. And the Bible promises that where two or three are gathered in His name, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, there He will be also. So we are convinced that Jesus is in our midst tonight as we meet together and as we just try to become, you know, a little bit better person, not better than anybody else, just better than we were maybe before yesterday or before an hour ago or before a minute ago. So I think that's the quest. We just want to get closer to you, Lord, to get closer to knowing ourselves and knowing about others in our life, other important people. So, God, we thank you for all these many blessings. I ask that you would be with Robert in the words that he shares tonight. And we ask everything in your son's name. Amen.
Yeah, one of the things I want you to do before I read our scripture is to think about the giant that you face today. We all face giants. We face struggles. We face difficulties. I know Donna just got an email from a friend of hers sharing how she needs prayer for healing. You want to talk a little bit about Teresa and
Yeah, I can share briefly. I shared it yesterday in church, and actually I've talked to her on the phone this morning, so it wasn't... we text message back and forth, and then I actually spoke to her early this morning when I was taking the dog out for a walk. And my friend Teresa, I've known since I was in junior high and she was in high school. She's actually just a year You're older than I am, but unfortunately, Teresa, 15 years ago, was diagnosed with melanoma of the eye. So it's very unusual, rare cancer. It's like one in several million people get this particular cancer, and it's really a miracle that she's lived 15 years. But throughout the 15 years, she's struggled and had 50 to 60 different surgeries, cancer surgeries. She's had every single major organ in her body operated on and had cancer removed, and including she's had leukemia, which, of course, is the cancer of the blood. So this poor friend of mine, last month she had brain surgery, and we thought she was doing okay as she could be, but this woman is one strong person.
Yeah,
unbelievable. But she let me know yesterday, or actually Saturday, that although they got all the tumors already back in less than a month, so she's facing another brain surgery this week. Or she wasn't sure this morning. So I had a long prayer with her and just spent time with her. And I told her, like I always tell her, she's my hero, my absolute hero for what she's been through and what she's endured. And, you know, it's really her strong faith in God that gets her through this. So
for Teresa, the giant she faces, the struggles she faces, the mountain that she has to overcome is her health. She has been just really struggling with health. You know, Don and I, we face our challenges. Our challenges in comparison to that is nothing. Our challenge is trying to close the gap every month in between expenses and income, and trying to not go so much in the hole as we need to, so that we don't have to consume all of our assets instead of. Because otherwise, we're just not have much to. We won't be able to live that much longer, Donna. If we continue to use all of our assets,
and we're going to do that. We're both planning on living to be 100.
Exactly. So we can't.
And we're
continue
60,
to use
so
our assets.
We've got a few years left.
So that means we cut expenses and we have to increase income, and that's and we're working on that. And we'll get through that. But that's one of the giants we face, which is minuscule to something like what Teresa is facing. And some of you may be facing health issues. You may be facing family issues, relational issues. You may be looking at your marriage going, this is a huge giant. I don't know how I can face it. And maybe
they've lost a spouse recently.
Lost a spouse,
that's also, you know, obviously
going through the grief process.
I know we know lots of people just in the last year that have lost their spouses.
So what I want you to do right now is to think about the giants that you face. Think about the mountains that you're wishing to get through, cross over. And I guess I could quote my father's possibility thinker's creed: "When faced with a mountain, I will not quit." And I want you to think about these words. I'm going to read from, of all things, Deuteronomy. I don't preach. I haven't given too many sermons out of Deuteronomy, but I happen to have been reading Deuteronomy last week, and this just hit me, and I just thought it was so relevant for us today. It's such an important message that everyone needs to hear and be reminded of, because it's so hard for us to comprehend the mind of God and his generosity and his goodness. And so here in Deuteronomy, from the very beginning, we see what he is all about. And it says, "Listen, O Israel." This is Deuteronomy chapter 9. "Listen, O Israel, today you are about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land belonging to nations much greater and more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls that reach to the sky. The people are strong and tall, descendants of the famous Anakite giants." What giants are you facing today? You've heard the saying, "Who can stand up to the Anakites?" But recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross over ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them. He will subdue them so that you will quickly conquer them and drive them out, just as I, the Lord, has promised. That's an important word to remember. Just as I, the Lord, have promised. As the Lord your God has done this for you, don't say in your hearts, the Lord has given us this land because we are such good people. No, it is because of the wickedness of the other nations that he has punished, that he has pushed them out of your way. It is not because you are so good or have such integrity that you are about to occupy their land. The Lord your God will drive these nations out ahead of you only because of their witness and to fulfill the oath he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You must recognize that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land because you are good, for you are not. You are stubborn people.
Amen.
Yeah, that's Deuteronomy 1 through 6. I just find it such a fascinating thing to hear God say, you know, you don't deserve this land. You don't deserve to conquer your giants. You don't deserve to overcome your mountains. You don't deserve all of the promises I've given you, but I've given them to you anyway. And I have given you these promises not because you're good, but because you're my children. Now, Don and I are really, really blessed. We have the greatest kids in the whole world, and we love being with them, and fortunately, they love being with us, and it is without question the greatest blessing that I have, as well as the greatest source of pride that I have, because every single one of my kids is just as good as I could possibly ever want. And as a result of that, I just consider it such a blessing. And I just love the heck out of them. If I know they're not perfect. I know that there's things they do. There's things they do that bug me. But I love them still the same because they're my kids. That's the way a relationship between a father and a child is. As a mother, Donna, you must, how do you feel about your children that you carry with you your whole life? I mean,
yeah, you love them no matter what. Even when they were teenagers, you still loved them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? We got through all that, and now we have grandchildren, and there's a whole other layer of love. And
for the grandkids.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It's the most important thing to us. It's the most important thing in life, really.
So here God says, hey, you guys don't deserve this. I'm not giving you this land because you're good. I'm giving you this land because I made a promise. I made the promise to Abraham. I made the promise to Isaac, and I made the promise to Jacob, and I made the promise to Moses, and I made the promise to you. So when we go through the Bible and we read the promises of God, of all the love and the care that he has for us, it's just a confirmation to us of the grace of God, the grace that surpasses our understanding and our comprehension, because the gift of God is true and real. But what we do is emotionally and mentally, we land up taking God, instead of having a relationship with him, which is what he wants to have. He wants to be our father, us to be our God, but instead of allowing us to have a relationship with him, we have a tendency to put God in a box. And sometimes that box may look like the Bible, and we take the Bible and we stick it on the shelf, and it stays there, and that's where God is, and he's in that box on the shelf, and we just simply leave him there. It's nice and secure there. We don't have to worry about him, and he's in that box. But the fact is, he wants a relationship with us. You know, he gave us 10 commandments.
But he must be in the church if he's not the Bible.
Yeah, that comes next. You know, first he wants to have a relationship with us. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the 10 commandments, What few people remember about the Ten Commandments is that the first four, and I think he put them in order of priority in many ways, the first four that he talks about is all about a relationship with him. It's not thou shalt, the first one isn't thou shalt not murder, or you shall not commit adultery, or you shall not steal. Those are at the bottom of the list. The Ten Commandments begin with, you shall have no other gods before me. I'm your God. I'm the one that wants to lead you. You shall not make, number two, you shall not make any graven images. You shall not carve something and think that this is your God. Number three, you shall not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And someday I'm going to have a whole sermon on that, because I believe using the name of the Lord, taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain is much more than just using God as a cuss word. It means it has, there's far more depth to that than just that. Because it's relational, and it's calling upon God in vain, meaning we pray to God in vain without any faith, without any meaning. I could talk 30 minutes just on that topic alone. But again, he wants to have a relationship with us. That's why he gives these commands. The commands are, number one, you shall not have any gods before me. You shall not make any graven images. You shall not use my name in vain. You shall honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's a time, one day in seven, to remember and to spend time with each other. Just in case you forget, at least one day a week, spend a little time with me. And so the first four, that's what they're all about. Then you get into honor your father and mother, et cetera. But those are the Ten Commandments. Again, God doesn't want to be put on a box, put on a shelf, and forgotten. He wants to be brought out of the box, be part of your life daily, all the time, as we face the giants, as we face the challenges, as we face the mountains that are before us. You know, that's one of the reasons we call the Robert Chilwell Ministries a church with no walls. Because the second place where people like to put God is in the four walls of a church, which you were mentioning earlier, Donna. And that's what people like to do. It's kind of like a sacred place, a holy place. And so here's a church, and therefore God is there. And how many of you ever heard of somebody saying, you know, I could never go to church because if I went in there, I'd be struck by lightning, the roof would cave in, and all the whole idea that since God is in there, I'll just stay away from there and I don't have to worry about God. And it's ridiculous. Even the concept is silly as soon as you start thinking about who God is and how he relates with his people. It's really a silly concept, but people do it. They put God in a box, and the box is sometimes in the Bible that they put on their shelf and forget. Sometimes the box is a church with four walls of a steeple, and he's in there, and they don't have to, and so they can keep him there, and then if they need to, they can just go there and see him, and that's not where God wants to be. He wants to be in our lives. God can never be contained within four walls. There is no box big enough to contain God. There is nothing we can do to be able to keep him from being the God who loves, the God who cares, the God who's our Father, the God who made promises to us. We have a list of promises. Would you get those, Donna? And I want to read some of those in a little bit. But the other thing we do is we put him, we put God in a box theologically. And that happens all the time. It's in the other room. So we put God in the box theologically. And the way we put God in a box theologically is we have certain concepts of who God is. And they aren't necessarily based upon scriptural references. but they're based upon cultural references. And God isn't in a particular denomination. He isn't in a particular theological school. He is way beyond our mental capacity to figure him out. The Bible gives us some parameters from which we can work within because of our physical limitations and our mental limitations. But the Bible doesn't begin to tell us everything about God. It couldn't, our minds can't even comprehend and deal with that. So it's impossible for us to put God in a box. So instead, we have to have a relationship with God. And our relationship is with God is through Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, throughout the Bible, and most, in fact, all of these promises, I'm going to read a few of them, are in the New Testament, talking and sharing with us who we are in Christ. And so here are some of the promises. I'm just going to read a few. One is that John 1:12 says, I am God's child. John 15:15 says, I am Christ's friend. Romans 5:1 says, I have been justified. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, I am united with the Lord, one spirit. Ephesians 1:1 says, I am a saint. Now, that's a tough one for people to swallow, right, Donna?
Yeah, that's the toughest one. When we share this list, people get caught up on that. Oh, I'm not a saint. They laugh it off.
Yeah. I am complete in Christ. You know, we mentioned that are you ever enough? Are you ever good enough to go to heaven? Are you ever doing enough to be loved by God? Are you ever enough? And the answer is no. We are never enough.
Right.
But we are completed in Christ. You know, the illustration I've always used for that is actually trying to understand how we are completed in Christ is like trying to earn our way into heaven. There is no way we can earn our way into heaven any more than there's any way we can swim from California to Hawaii. And it's comical to think we could do that. So let's say that we're gonna do our best. We hop in the water and we start swimming. And we might get 30, 40, maybe 100 miles offshore if you're an Olympic athlete or a triathlete or some long-distance swimmer. But you get to a point where all of a sudden your arms won't go anymore, your legs won't kick anymore, you can't float anymore. And it's at that point that Jesus shows up in a lifeboat, and he reaches out and he pulls you into the boat and says, I'll take you the rest of the way to Hawaii. And that's what the grace of Jesus Christ is all about. That's how Jesus completes us as individuals and people. There's no way we could ever be good enough. There's no way we can ever do enough. There's nothing we can do to earn our way into heaven. It's absolutely, totally, completely a gift from God. And so all we're asked to do is to follow the lead that God wants us to follow. And rest in the assurance and the conviction of God's promises. So if I was to continue to read these, I'd say, I am free forever from condemnation, Romans 8. So Romans 8 continues to say, I am free from any charge against me. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, I am established, anointed, and sealed by God. 1 John 5:8 says, I am born of God. The evil one cannot touch me. And again, I'm just giving you just a few of the promises that we have from God. So the final thing we have to do in order to really understand the beauty and the wonder of God is to realize that we cannot box God. And here's meaning we can't put him in a box, put him on the shelf, we can't put him in a church and leave him in a building. We can't create a theological position which tries to keep him where we want him. And then finally, we can't box God by not following him. By this, I mean Our arms are too short to fight God. We cannot be in a boxing match with God and expect to win. Jonah tried that. Let me remind you of the story of Jonah. Jonah was told by God to go and to share his love with the Ninevites, and Jonah didn't want to do that, so he hopped on a ship and went in the opposite direction to get as far away from Nineveh as he possibly could. He got swallowed up by a whale, and so that didn't work very good to him. So once he got out of the whale, he went back to Nineveh and shared the good news with them and changed the entire city. That's enough about Jonah. The fact is, there's no way we can fight God. We have to trust God. If you feel a call from God, do something, you've got to do it and move forward in faith, realizing that God will move the mountains. He will conquer the giants. He will help you cross the Jordan. He will give you the promised land. His promises are true. His promises are real, and they are eternal, and they will last forever. And so that is the message that I have for you today. And just a couple weeks ago, Don and I received our tickets to heaven. Well, I think we talked about them before. You may be familiar with them, but we have our tickets to heaven, which is a little card. It's just a plastic card. And
it simplifies the gospel message.
It is.
This is how simple it is. You've been talking about you cannot earn your way into heaven. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus and start, following him and accept him as your best friend. And anyway, so go ahead.
You're doing good, Donna.
Yeah. So maybe some of you probably know that Robert has given away nearly a million of these tickets to heaven. He did this when he was the senior pastor of the Crystal Cathedral, and
over only a few years. I think it was 4 or 5 years.
Maybe not even that. I think it was 3 years.
May have been less. We printed these tickets to heaven. We'd print them up 100,000 at a time and 250,000 at a time. And we gave nearly a million tickets to heaven away. And all it is a plastic card. And on the card, it says ticket to heaven. And then underneath that, it says, anyone who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Jesus Christ. And then it says, as a place for you to sign your name. And above it, it says, Jesus said it, I accept it.
In a white box, like a credit card.
You
can sign it. I like that. And, of course, this is robertschulerministries.org. It's his time. And then I love what you had printed on the back, Robert. You want me to read it? So on the back of the scripture, it's Romans 8:38-39. It says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we have these cards, and we aren't in a position to order them hundreds of thousands at a time, but we ordered a thousand of them. And depending on what the interest is and all, we just want to give these away. We want to continue to give these away until the day we die. So.
Well, I am convinced that if there is a need, there'll be a way to pay for it, because it's just such a wonderful thing. And so if somebody wants 50 of these or 100 of these, we have enough to give you 50 or 100. If you need 1,000 of them, then we're going to have to print some more. We printed up 1,000 of them, and we wanted to see how many people are interested in using these as tools or as gifts to give to their friends and their relatives or anyone else that they might have, that they would like this. And it's a beautiful testimony, and it is a beautiful realization in a kind of a concrete way that you can hold on to, where yes, I've made a commitment to Jesus Christ. As a result of that, I know I'm going to go to heaven. My son Bobby's had a funeral for a young man who had passed away several years ago. And the family, when they went through some of his belongings, found the ticket to heaven in his billfold. And they said, they cried, and they just couldn't believe what a wonderful message that was to them, to know that he had signed this card. And because he had never told anyone else that he had made any profession of his faith. And so they all wondered, and all of a sudden they find this card. And it was one of the most beautiful things for the family to have that. So there's lots of different reasons to have a card like this. Not that you need this. You don't need this to go to heaven. Please don't think that you can't go to heaven without this card. That's not the idea at all in any way, shape, or form. It's just a physical reminder and a token of in writing and making a pledge to God, to ourselves, that we believe in Jesus and his love for us.
Well, I think also, Robert, like I started out by saying, this is what it means to me. This is how simple the gospel message is, in a nutshell.
Absolutely. Just
love Jesus, love others, sign the card, and that's how it started, because if you recall how you started this, and some of you may know this, it's actually, the story's up on the homepage of the Robert Schuler Ministries website right now, but it has to do with Robert's dad is the first one that did this.
Because, wrote a ticket to heaven.
Yeah, he was sitting next to the famous football coach, Bear Bryant. And Bear Bryant, you know, they started talking about heaven, and Bear Bryant said, "Oh, I'm not good enough to go there, and I don't think I'll go." Or what are the details?
Well, he said, "I'm not good enough to go to heaven."
Right.
And Dad goes, "Really? What's wrong?" He goes, "Well, you know, I drink a lot, smoke a lot, do this a lot and that a lot." And every time he said something like that, my father said, "Is that all? Is that it? Is that the reason?
Yeah.
Is that all?"
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And then how did he make that transition? He said something about, "I'm not sure the plane's going
to
land."
Yeah, he said, my father says, "Well, if you want to go to heaven, it's this simple." When he wrote this out, "Tickets to heaven, anyone who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Jesus Christ said it. I accept it." He wrote that out on a card, and he says, "Here, sign this, and you've got your ticket to heaven." He goes, "I don't know if I can sign that." My dad goes, "Well, I don't know if the plane's going to land.
The plane
is going to land either." He goes, "Okay, I'll fire."
So he signed it. So that, you know, that
stuck in his pocket.
So beautiful. And then.
And when he passed away, they said they found that napkin.
Right.
It was on an airline napkin, paper napkin.
So amazing. So again, that's just how simple it is. So, you know, I think most of us, at least here and there, at some time in our life, get into some sort of a, I don't know, hopefully not an argument, but I think sometimes an argument about whether or not God exists. And
well, in our minds, we are. I find myself arguing with it all the time. Am I really good enough?
Mm-hmm.
Am I really spiritual enough? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact is, I'm not.
Right. Right.
I'm not.
None of us are.
And none of us are. And
but it has nothing to do with that. That's what you're saying, right?
It has nothing to do with that.
I think that's a great message.
That is the whenever you hear that, just realize that's satanic talk, trying to convince you not to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and trying to lead you astray from the truth.
And the truth is, I am God's co-worker. Says 2 Corinthians 6:1, "I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm," taken from Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:10, "I am God's workmanship." And I also love this, 2 Timothy 1:7, "I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind." And there's just, it just goes on and on.
So and my favorite one, when we... is Philippians 4:13,
yeah.
"I can do all things through Christ
who strengthens me.
And I every time I see that and hear that, it reminds me of my interview with Laura Wilkinson, who took the gold medal for high diving. I think that was 12 years ago, and in the Olympics. So, and as after she won her gold medal, all she could say over and over again was, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that was her rallying cry that helped her accomplish her goal and helped her get through her giants and conquer her mountains. So that's my message, I guess you might say, for tonight. I've been talking a long
time. That's all right. We're going to take some questions pretty soon. I want to just have a couple of announcements here. I say this every time, but it's important. If you haven't already signed up for our newsletter, the digital newsletter, just make sure you go on our website at robertshulerministries.org and sign up. You just enter your email address, and what happens is from there, you electronically, automatically get sent an email confirmation, which you have to click on, verifying that, yes, it was you. It wasn't some kind of a false person, a machine, another computer that tried to sign up. And then you will receive a digital newsletter, which is basically just a single page. And we only do it like, gosh, I think we've only put two or three out so far. We started a year ago. So you're only going to get that in your inbox three or four times a year. You're not going to get this huge amount of mail, and we won't be sending you junk mail, and we won't be putting you on any other list. So we'll be sending our fall issue out in a few weeks, which will include our updates about what we've been working on, what we're doing in the future. So if you'd like a copy, again, just go to the website and sign up, robertshulerministries.org. And we'd love to send that to you. So
if you have any questions, if you want to have a dialogue about what I said, if you have any comments of what we've been talking about for the last half hour or so, push *6. And we'll put you in the queue, because I'd love to talk about this, answer any questions, anything that you might want to talk about regarding this issue. So again, it's *6, and we can talk about that.
Ah, we have somebody here. I'm going to put you on there. Hello.
Hello. Hi. You left out a big part about the ticket to heaven. How does a person get one of those? Do we send a self-addressed envelope? Okay, I'll wait for you then.
No, it's okay. We were going to tell you, but you can email us.
No, I'm glad you asked the question.
Sure. You go ahead, Robert.
So to get the tickets, all you do is send us an email send us an email at robert@shulerministries.org and tell us how many you want, give us your name and address, and we'll send them out to you.
Yeah, we already sent some out of this latest batch. So I promise you I was going to mention it. So now the others have to hear it again, but that's good, you know? Good. I'm glad you're interested. Thank you so much. And is that your only question? You want to ask anything else?
Well, I just want to make sure other people heard it too that might have not caught on to how to get that.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, we really
appreciate that. Thank you so much. Appreciate
you
it.
Bet. God bless you. Bye-bye. So, let's see. Do you know what? Let me just tell you that we have a lot of people to thank for their continued gifts to our ministry. And because of your gifts, we're able to print these tickets to heaven, and Don and I are able to do the outreach that we have. So we want to thank you for that. You know, every church service has a time of offering. And our offering, we can't really pass a plate through the telephone, so we just have to ask you to go to our website at robertshulerministries.org, and you'll see a donation button there, and you hit that, and you can put your credit card information in there, or you can write to us at 919 Bayside Drive, E3, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And then if you have any questions whatsoever, you can write to Donna at robertshulerministries.org or to me, robert@robertshulerministries.org.
Or just shulerministries.org.
Shulerministries.
We have both of those. So you can put robert@shulerministries.org, donna@shulerministries.org, or you can spell out the whole thing, Robert Shuler Ministries. And just something we want to mention. That address, 919 Bayside Drive, will only be good until the 30th of August. We are moving our home and our, which is also our church office. We are moving out of our apartment in Newport Beach on August 30th, and we will have a new location. We're going to be getting a P.O. box because our next move is just temporary. And so anyway, we're going to do that so we won't have to change addresses again in 6 months from now. But for now, the 919 Bayside Drive E3, Newport Beach, California, 92660 is good, but only till August 30th. So thank you all for what you're doing. Oh, we have a couple questions here.
Just FYI, you spell Schuller, S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R. So if you pull up any other spelling, I think you don't go anywhere.
No. Well, you go somewhere.
Yeah.
Hey, there's another question here. Hello, Mom.
Hello there, Donna, Robert. Carrie and I have been sitting here listening to the program, and I just wanted to thank Robert in his sermon for reminding me and us of the promises of God in his sermon. I also still have my ticket to heaven from years ago, and I
Yay.
Guess I need a new one. Do I still need a new one?
No, we've been told by people that the writing has worn thin and worn off. No, you don't need a new one.
We have heard, we've heard from some people where their tickets to heaven have worn out, and so they want a new one, not because they need one or because there's a time expiration. There's actually no expiration date on the tickets to heaven. That's a good question. I like that, Linnell. Is there an expiration date?
No.
And the answer is. The answer is yes, and the expiration date is when you use it.
Never. When I leave this world. Okay, well, Carrie just said thank you for your inspiration.
Oh, now we got into another
theological. Mom, I have another question, so keep on and listen, unless you have something else to ask.
No.
There's somebody else waiting. But listen up, because I have a question for Robert about, and then I'll get to the next. So, Robert, you just brought up something.
Yeah.
So what do you mean you have to use it? Isn't the kingdom of heaven present and it's here for anybody that wants it today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Theologically, I believe that heaven is on earth, that heaven isn't the place in the sky that we go and we die, but it is here on earth and around us and everywhere. And just like God is everywhere, because heaven is in the presence of God. And therefore, our eternal life begins the minute we accept the gift of God. Because obviously, if you're going to have eternal life, your life begins now. You don't
begin after you die.
Exactly.
You were just kidding around with my mom, and so I was like, uh-oh, I didn't want people to think that.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
So that's another theological discussion.
That's a whole other sermon, right?
Yeah.
So we have another friend on here. Hello.
Hi, Robert and Donna. Yes, I love the tickets for heaven. Actually, I received an angel one time on an airplane after my husband had passed away. I was taking my first flight, and a lady came up to me as I was exiting the plane and just gave me this silver angel and said, I think you need this. I don't know how she knew. Maybe she could have.
Wow.
Because it was a long ride from where I live in Florida to Seattle. And she told me that she'd given out over 1,000 of them, and only two had ever been that somebody said they didn't want to receive them. And so started doing that, but now I want to do the tickets for heaven instead.
Oh.
I love that idea. I love everything you guys are doing. And
thank
I just wanted to know if you could give a little bit of an update about the mission in Cabo and what's going on with that.
Sure. You want me to say
more?
It's very interesting that you should ask. Robert and I have been in a lot of prayer about whether or not we were going to continue this mission, just because, from what we had said, that closing the gap every month and trying to be good stewards of what God has given to us. So we sort of put a fleece out to God when we were here in July. And we prayed and we said, Lord, you know, if you want us staying down here and leading this Sunday morning gathering and building a group of, you know, followers who love you, and because of that and that group growing stronger and stronger, being engaged in outreach and all kinds of different projects in this area of the world, keeping in mind that most of the people that attend our gathering, 99.9% are people that have moved here from the United States or Canada. So we're not talking about local Mexican people that go into the gathering. We have had them, a few of them, here and there, but basically the leadership, if you will, and the most involved people are people that are either down here full-time or they're here 6 months out of the year and then up, you know, in their home in the States the other 6 months. So that being said, we knew that typically in the summer we could almost already go down to a handful of people because people are gone on vacation, something like that. So we're like, let's just put this out there. And we prayed about it, and we were kind of sad, thinking, oh, we're gonna tell the, we're probably going to tell our group today, if anybody's there, that we're going to, this may be the last gathering for a while. And we went, and oh, my gosh. The blessing was amazing. We had 3 to 4 times as many people as normal. We had tons of new people. We had a gal that took a really good friend who was like, if we have membership, which we don't, but let's just say she and her husband are founding members. They're usually traveling. She was there with her guitar and sang and played the guitar for worship. We had a new lady that came with her flute and started playing along with the music just because she has a good ear and she's talented. And her sister was singing, and her sister's got this amazing voice. And we had all these people. And we started crying during the worship songs. And we just looked at each other and shared with the group after Robert had his little message that, hey, thank you. You don't know what you've done for us. You, without knowing, you gave us an affirmation that this is where we're supposed to be. And that was last month. And then just yesterday, we were getting an update on one of the main, again, I've used members lightly because we don't really have membership. One of our founding members, quote-unquote members, he's been putting together a group, and they're starting a Boys and Girls Club, and they're trying to put about 5 different charities under one roof, and he's waiting for the local city council here to see if he's got these 5 acres of land. So we've been putting people together like that are doing these incredible things, and he and his wife and another couple from Texas that come down during the season, they're not here right now, they won't be back till November, December, they've joined forces and they're funding this huge big project, and you know, if that happens, this will be unprecedented down here. It'll be a 5-acre project with, like I said, huge Boys and Girls Club. It'll have all kinds of children's charities. It'll have something for getting wheelchairs out to people that need wheelchairs. There'll be the first food bank ever in this area. So it's all very exciting. So thank you for asking.
But Donna?
Yes.
Could there be something that maybe you and Robert could do? I think what you're doing there is amazing, and I'm familiar with that area, and I think I just don't know where you all are finding your energy to spread yourself. You know, you all are amazing, but could you do a gathering? Could you do one like in California, maybe someplace where you all didn't have to travel so far, that you could put out an invitation for all of us that just respect and have been guided by you and by Robert and by his dad for so many years, just a place we could come, maybe, I'm not saying on a weekly, but maybe just maybe a reunion. Could we do something?
What if we have a retreat?
What if we have a retreat?
You do. Okay. Where is that? I mean, when is the retreat?
Yeah
we'll have someplace.
Yes, we should do a retreat. Absolutely.
We've been thinking and praying about that for some time. Yeah, we talk about that often.
You've been such an important part of our lives, and I think that just for everybody to be able to come together would be great. So I think we need a retreat then.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you.
Yes.
That. That's awesome.
We'll definitely pray and think about how we can pull that off, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
And absolutely. Is there anything now? I know we need to pray for Barbie. Barbie's
yes,
better.
Yes, my sister is doing well and just has faced so much anyway, thank you for your prayers for our family. We really appreciate it.
Always. You mean a lot to us.
Thank you, Lindy.
Thank you. You guys mean a lot. Let's do that retreat.
Okay.
We'll start planning.
We will. We'll call you. We'll talk about it. We'll email you or something. We'll get together.
It sounds okay. Great.
You can be on the planning committee. Okay.
I'm already writing out the invitations, but I want your mom
right.
on it.
Okay. All right. You're on.
No, the work that you're doing there in Cabo is just amazing, and I look so forward to this call. I can't always be on it, but you all,
thank you.
God bless you, and thank you for all that you
yes.
do.
And you.
We'll
talk soon.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love
Bye.
You, too.
Love
Bye.
You, too.
So, if you have any other questions or comments, press star 6 and we'll put you in the queue. Otherwise, I just want to make sure that you realize that next month the call is going to be on what date?
It'll be on September 15th.
The 15th, really?
Yes.
So what time would it be?
That will be at, let me think, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, wow.
Actually, you're going to be doing this from Philadelphia, I think. Robert will be in Philadelphia.
I'm continuing to work on this weekend of prayer. We didn't mention anything about that.
No.
But I think I mentioned it last month with Paul, when Paul Murray was our guest, that we're working on this weekend of prayer. And what the weekend of prayer is, it starts on the 16th, which is actually my father's birthday.
Yeah.
And it goes through the 18th. And on the 16th is a Friday, and the reason it's a weekend of prayer is I'm asking Muslims to pray on the 16th, I'm asking Jews to pray on the 17th, and I'm asking Christians to pray on the 18th to have a weekend of prayer. And so I'm going to be flying actually to a church in Philadelphia and preaching there, and it's a black church. And what I'm asking black pastors to do is invite white pastors to come and preach in their church. I'm asking white pastors to invite black pastors to come to their church and preach, because we have tremendous racial tension in our nation today, none of which can be solved by more laws. We have the laws we need on the books today. It has to take place spiritually, and that means we have to come together and
yes.
pray. And the Bible tells us that if we will come together and pray, that the Lord will come and heal our land, and we need that healing. And so I'm actually going to Philadelphia to preach in a church there on the 18th. And so anyway, I'm continuing to work on that. And so that's what we're up to right
yep.
now.
So both Robert and myself would like to thank you for participating in this call tonight, the call. We want to remind you again that we do this together on the 15th of every month. So hopefully the 15th of every month.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully you'll join us in September. Please continue to email us with your prayer requests, your ideas, or any questions. Remember, also, we post this call on our podcast at robertschulerministries.podomatic.com. You can also Google that. It all comes up now. I've been Robert Schuller Ministries, but it's robertschulerministries.podomatic.com. That's our podcast address. And I'll be posting that by tomorrow. So go online to that podcast and subscribe also, so you'll be sure to receive updates when we post the call. And also, I started recently posting some sermons from our gathering. So and all the reminders of this can be found on our website, robertschulerministries.org. We love you all. We enjoy this time with you so very much. And if we have a retreat, maybe some of you will come and we can reach out and touch you.
Yeah, that'd be
and
wonderful.
And we can pray together by holding hands. And
that
is just so cool.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Such a good idea, Lindy. So, anyway,
until next time, just remember that God is blessing you through all things and in all times.
Always
and forever.
Yep, and God loves you, and so do
we.
We.
God bless you.
Good
Have
night.
A great night.
Bye-bye.